So we're glad you're here. This session, this seminar is going to be Farm Synergy, Finding Your Missional Value. A lot is in that word. And by the way, I'm Chris Carey. I'm president at Fletcher Academy, Inc. We're located in Fletcher, North Carolina, just a stone's throw from Asheville. And our goal today, it's pretty simple. This is a lighter session, I would say, in some ways not. That my hope is that you'll leave the seminar encouraged with ways to develop your farm impact by engaging others in the joy of your ministry. So a lot of it, I'm going to be focusing on engaging others. Just different ways, fun ways, ways you can engage others in the farm and with what's going on. If this is not what you're looking for, it's a beautiful day outside, so don't feel bad. That's our two-foot rule that we have here going on. Let us start with a word of prayer. Our Father God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to come together. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us and the Ad Agra conference. We ask for your blessings on all that's going on here. We ask your blessings on each individual, and we pray for their ministries, and that will be a blessing to all those that they come in contact with. We thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on in. Oh, if you're just coming in, you'll have no chance to step away after I gave my what our goal is going to be for this session. So, but I'll just say it again for the few people that are coming in. This is a little lighter session. We're going to talk mostly at the level of just engaging people in your farm. And I think when people engage with your farm, there's things that happen you can't even quite put your finger on. And if you do it in a way and you understand who you are and where you're coming from, it has a bigger impact in ways that we may not even know. And I'm going to start with my first picture. This was my introduction to Fletcher Academy. I was driving a big 26-foot U-Haul, and there was a steep driveway where we were staying. And one of the employees there at Fletcher Academy said, "Hey, why don't you see if we can't make that truck up that driveway?" And there was no way. You see the ledge, the cantilevered back end of that truck. There's no way it's going to go up a hill. It just hit the ground and. And so then I went down this road called Hutch Mountain Road, and said, "Okay, I'll go down this road and turn around." Well, there is no shoulder, and my front tire just got a little bit off the ledge, off the edge of the road, and I was struggling for a good 50 feet to bring it back on, and I was pulling. I couldn't get up over the ledge, and pretty soon the back end just starts swinging behind me. And I'm like, "Oh no, Lord, please, no." And then it came slowly to this position, stuck up in the air like this. And I had to step down quite a ways to get out of the cab. And by the way, the interesting part of this is where we have started the farm. And I always felt like God was saying very strongly, "Start here, Chris. Start here. This is where we got to start." And by the way, this goes to the missional value. You know, it was a little embarrassing for me at first. Now I look back and laugh, and I laughed at the time, actually, nothing I could do. And I was just thanking God that it didn't tip over. This, by the way, is full of my belongings, my wife's belongings. You can imagine her. "What were you doing, Chris?" So, I was like, "Well, I wasn't fishtailing or doing anything fun. I just was trying to drive." And pretty soon we had, I don't have a picture of it, we had, oh my goodness, it seemed like half the school showed up just to see what was going on. And I was like, and you know what it turned out to be? It turned out to be a connection and an icebreaker that I never would have had with the entire campus. I got to meet everybody within that short amount of time. I mean, it was quite incredible. It was almost as if God had used it to break, you know how you build rapport with people and connections with individuals? Sometimes it takes a while, right? And so on. Well, this I had instant connection, instant rapport with everybody there. We ended up talking. Pretty soon, two tow trucks came by. The road was blocked off. Police were there. And I think police, yeah, at the one end. And one of the tow trucks got stuck in trying to get me out. And then they had to call the other tow truck to get that tow truck out. That's how they ended up having two tow trucks there. So it was a carnival, really, is what it was. And it was something that I used and was able to talk with people. And I'm not saying this is what this session is about, but in a way it is. It's about really using everything that you have at your means and connecting with individuals in your mission, what we are doing. By the way, they did get me out, so, and sent me a big bill. Yes, that was where I had to explain to my wife that was an accident, sorry. So I first want to start with, it's all about mission. Whatever I'm talking about, let's make sure that we're grounded there first. It is all about mission. Number one, do all that are engaged know your why? And I know you've heard this in a lot of other sessions. I really got to talk about it again. I'm going to say it again and again and again because I see it. I see it when I go other places. I see it when I go to other institutions. Not everyone understands their why. And it's really the... It really creates a schism between what people are trying to do and misunderstandings, confusion, consternation on people's side. So make sure you have a well-crafted mission statement. What are we trying to achieve? That would be a question to ask as you're going through that. What is your reason for being? And if it doesn't match what you have now, maybe it's time to revisit your mission and go through a process. And there's a process for that, and I'm happy to talk to you about that outside of this session right here. And how are you sharing your mission with others, of course, in action and in words? So next one I'm talking about is mindset. And by the way, I gave a heads up to some of the others. I'm planning, this is going to be a little unusual session. I want to hear from you, and we're going to take about 15, 20 minutes. I'm going to go a little faster, and we're going to ask people to share how you're doing and what you're doing in bringing more connections to the community, more engagement, and getting more value out of your farm than just the vegetables. So change your mindset. You know, the mission is important. You got to know your why and what's all going on. What is your farm about? Is it only growing vegetables or is it growing character? Let's make sure you're on the right page, right? And I think you all get that. Is it at the center or is it at the periphery of your ministry? A lot of times the farm is talked about, oh yeah, we have a farm. No, we are a farm. It's a different mentality, isn't it? In how you speak and how you talk about things. Get rid of those lines that are there. There are no lines. And does it define who you are? Or does it define who God is and what he's doing for you? A lot of times we wrap ourselves up into our farm, and it's representative of who we are. It's not. It's representative of who God is. It's representative of our Creator God. Let's get past that and give others the opportunity to be a part of that ownership and a part of your mystery and what's going on. Because whose farm is it? Yes, it's God's farm. So I'm going to go to one of the first things, prayer. Prayer is a great way to engage people, right? And it's a great way to connect with our God, our Creator. And I'm talking about intentional prayer. I heard some people pray, and they're like, pray for the farm, pray for it to grow, pray for, you know, all that's taking place there. That's wonderful. And we really want to go to our prayers that have to do with our mission and who we are, right? God, please use this farm so I can reach lives for you. Please use this farm so that students can grow in their character. God, please use this farm so that they'll learn about you in a special way they never learned of before. Is that a little different? And maybe it isn't. You're praying that prayer because I've heard a lot of good things that are going on with different ministries. And one thing we did, 2 years ago, we had a retiree in the community, and he was coming on campus, and he had prayed with a few people. His name is Rick, and we said, hey, why don't you just go around and pray with people on campus? That could be your volunteer job. And he's like, oh, I could do that. And I said, okay, how about we're going to give you the title of Chief Prayer Officer for our organization, CPO. And as Chief Prayer Officer now, he is on campus almost every day. And by the way, Marcy Postel is here. She's our farm manager, and he goes down to the farm, doesn't he? He prays with students. He prays with Marcy. He comes to my office. He has a standing appointment every Thursday to pray with me. And specifically, we talk about the farm. We talk about everything else, and we talk about what's going on. And what I found is that this position, I consider it a farm position in many ways. He goes to every place on campus, and it becomes a place where it is a glue and a connection for what's taking place at the farm among individuals as well. It's connecting us here. It's this way, and it's this way. It's a wonderful way really to use one person's talents and a retiree in a way that can have a tremendous impact with what you're doing. And that's an easy one to do, isn't it? Very easy to do. Does he know anything about planting? No, he doesn't know very much about planting, but he knows about prayer, and he's very good at connecting with people. I would say make your farm a place for prayer. And we're getting there. I think we have a lot more we can do, and I've seen it in other places with what they're doing is they're creating paths that go off, you know, places where people can connect with God in terms of a quiet spot, solitude, something that is inspiring but through the smells. It's inspiring through what they see and so on. We can all do that. And, of course, prayer walk. One way we've connected people with the farm as well as engaging with our Creator God is by having a prayer walk at the beginning of the year. We have with the elementary school as well as on campus. What was it, 2 years ago as we were with COVID, or a little over 2 years ago, we had a day of fasting and prayer for the farm, for the school, for all that was going on. And what a great opportunity for us to connect and so on with everyone about what was going on. I'm going to keep on moving here. Another great way is your board. I don't know what you're doing with your board. I know some people here, you're not in the president or director role. You might be in the farm manager role. And, of course, I'm speaking for someone who's president of my organization, but you can lead up, you can lead down, you can lead in all different directions. You don't have to be in my position to do what I'm talking about. Invite a farm volunteer or a manager to report at your board. Marcy has come to our board meetings and given the devotion, which was a wonderful connection for us with the farm with what's taking place. And it brings those board members on with what's happening, and they understand. And also things just happen outside of that where they'll have conversations with Marcy, maybe at the board meeting or before, as she's waiting, as she's trying to connect. And I would say also ensure that the person in the leadership position is reporting on the farm with what's going on. And I know in my position, I'm busy. I got a lot of stuff going on. If I have anyone that comes up to me and says, hey, here's a picture of some neat things that are going on at the farm, could you put that in your report? I'll be like, thank you. You want to hug that person. You all have that opportunity where you are with what's going on. So you can be there and infuse the board meetings really with farm. I call it infuse the board meetings with farm joy. And share even those little things and make sure it's focused on the mission of what you're doing. I don't know how often I've asked how much are we selling at the farm. Not very much, but I do want to know what's going on with the students and what have you, because the students are what I can share with people about the education. It's about character development and about the outcomes there. And I share money last. And also I would say at the board is invite them to give. Make sure you're inviting your board to give. Make sure you're inviting your volunteers to give. Engage them in any way, in many ways, and thank them. Thank them, thank them, thank them for what's going on at the farm. And never apologize for your giving. Your giving, you're asking them to give is giving them an opportunity to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. And once you realize that, giving becomes so much easier to invite people to participate in the work that you're doing. Share the harvest. Lot of stuff you can do here. We decided at Fletcher Academy that we're going to set 10% of our produce aside to give to those people in need in the community. And I think it's having a tremendous impact. And it really, the value it brings to the farm, to our own meaning we find in what we do, and in terms of engaging in the community, is you can't put a price tag or a value on what that does and what's happening right now. We have a lady at Arden Church. Her name is Penn, and she works with a homeless ministry, and she started connecting with the farm, I'd say early on, really. And we started giving her some of our produce, and she would take it to her church, pack it with meals, and they have a lot of, you know, the homeless ministries has a lot of canned packaged materials, right? So when they get freshed up, it is a huge deal. It's a very big deal. And we had some squash that she got, I think it was last winter she was telling me about, and she said she added some seasonings, cut it up, and put it with the packs, and said all the guys, there are a lot of men there in downtown Asheville were eating it, and they're like, this is the best cheese I've ever had. This is, yes, and it was just so good to them. It was fresh. They didn't even know, and she's very good at cooking. I don't know what magic she did on that squash, but it was something that was enjoyed and made their day. But what a great story to tell then and share with individuals about what's going on with the farm. And I would say, too, the value is make sure you're giving your produce away just to others. Little things here and there. We have a retirement community, and some of our students have gotten together at times and dropped things off to some individuals that are in the retirement community just to say thank you. And it doesn't have to be big. Yeah, you can be the guy with carrots, and you got a carrot in your back pocket, and you give it to people wherever you go around. I mean, it's just... That one little carrot will make a huge difference to that person with what's going on. And sometimes we live in a world where there's a lot of need. And it may not be the carrot that is going to make their lives better, but it's the thought, and someone took a moment to give something to that individual and to that person at that time. So just an incredible opportunity for us at our farms. I would say also on-the-spot sharing. When your students are engaged at the farm, remember when I was first involved with the students of a freshman class, we were growing some watermelon, and I was waiting for those watermelons to ripen. And when they ripened, we just, on the spot, had a machete. And we cut it open and just ate it on the spot. We were dripping and everything. What an incredible memory for them, and what an incredible value that it created for them. And I'm going to keep moving. Creatively engage your volunteers. This is one of the greatest opportunities for us. I would dare say for most of our organizations, sometimes we don't want to reach out, or we're afraid to reach out, or, oh, it's too much work to reach out. We have a guy that, believe it or not, wakes up at 7 a.m., I think a couple times a week. I think. Twice a week? Maybe once? Yeah. Yeah. Even earlier. 6:30, 7. Yeah. He goes, we gave him a key, or we gave him access to where the lawnmowers are. He goes and gets on it, and he mows the lawn, he mows the meadow. Hours and hours he spends every week. He was out hiking our trails. He's not connected us through our church or through the church in general. And he now shows up, he gets on the lawnmower, and he mows. It makes it the most beautiful looking place. It's just incredible, all because he's asked and invited. And what a wonderful way to connect with a person like that, too. Sometimes we think if we ask someone to participate, to be a volunteer, that we're like, oh, we're putting them out. No. Do you believe in your farm, and do you believe in what you're doing? Then what are you doing when you invite someone to participate in that? You are giving them joy. And be sure to share with him. Whenever I see him, his name's Jim. Say, Jim, thank you so much. This is pretty incredible what you're doing. By the way, did you know, blah, blah, blah. I share with something that's going on in the farm. Because he has ownership. He has ownership. He needs to hear. I need to do more of that. I got to remind myself that. I really do. And so what are some ways? Special initiatives, of course. And I think you know this. You can have your, we are very good at this, and we have a clean bee, right? And we invite everyone to come in and do stuff. We can do all these kind of things. If there's ever you have a need at your farm, there's got to be an initiative or something that you do. When I say initiative, a special one-off volunteer moment where you can engage people and invite them to come on board. And I can talk more about that later. 80% rule. You know, you've heard of Pareto's law, right? 80-20. You get, 20% of your results, or 80% of your results from 20% of your efforts and so on. It also works for volunteers in a way. Not all your volunteers are going to get a lot of help from, right? It can be challenging. So I believe in the 80% rule. If someone can do it 80% as good as you, maybe even a little less, let them do it, right? If I have four people that can do it 80% as good as me, how much more output and engagement do I have at the farm? Way better output. It's incredible, incredible how much more. And I encourage you, because sometimes I notice it's a challenge for myself, for my staff sometimes, like, I got to train this person. They're not going to do it as good as me. They're it's going to take a lot of work and so on. And I had a person that was thinking about that, our person that was mowing the lawn. It was going to be a little work to train him because, if the mower gets broken, we got to fix it. And, he's got to get gas for him, and he's got to do these other things. And I love it. He said to me, not too long ago, you know what? That volunteer was a pretty good idea. He had lost all qualms about involving volunteers because he shows up there every morning and he's engaged. So, and what a wonderful way. And it, like I said, most of the things I'm sharing today really have to do with sharing in the joy of what you're doing. As simple as that. Invite experts. Doesn't matter who they are. And I say that with a, you know, little reservation. Invite them to come and see and to get feedback. I have had some incredible conversations with people in my community. Landscape architects that we've invited to engage didn't even know who we were. And they're not that far away from us. Some experts in organic agriculture, the extension agency, you name it. There's a bunch of people that we've invited to come on campus, look at the farm. What an incredible value for us and for that person. A lot of those people have never heard of us and who we are. They're like, what? You got students that work? And wait, what? There's no meat in your cafeteria? And, you know, just all these questions I get, and it's a fun conversation with them about who we are and what we have. So I would say look for those opportunities. And you never know where that's going to go in that person's life. Now, you may be just the person that's calling out for them to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. Not just the farm, but I mean a part of our family of God. So I'm going to keep moving. Have fun. I mentioned the chief prayer officer. I mean, chief prayer officer. And this should say, it says CFO. No, this is CVO. We also have. You can see what that says in that hat, right? Can you read that? Chief vegetable officer. Yes. What a fun way to engage people in your farm. We have a person who is probably the most extroverted individual in our retirement community. His name's Mike, Pastor Mike. And Mike was, he was talking to me about some things that were going on. And Marcy was talking about having a farmer's market every Thursday, or I think from 1 to 3 in the retirement community. And so what a wonderful opportunity to create value, bring someone involved. And I asked Mike, would you be our chief vegetable officer? Be at that stand and just connect with people, invite them, see what's going on. He had a hoot. He's like, what? You want me to be chief vegetable officer? What am I, the big tomato? The big, you know, he's extroverted, so he's going to talk. And I could tell his wife told me that next week, he goes, Mike is really excited about that chief vegetable officer. What fun, though. You know what I mean? It's not even work. It's just fun. And we actually printed this hat. We actually had that printed up and gave it to him to wear so he could have it there. And by the way, that took me, I think, 15 minutes to design it, get it up, and put it on. I used some AI. You know, you can use some stuff that's out there. And I described him, and he happens to be bald and some other things, so it even resembles him just by chance somewhat. In fact, he said, is that what you think of me, Chris? He has a sense of humor, yeah. So this is no plant volunteers, right? You don't have to be planting at your farm to bring volunteers in, do you? No, you do not. You can be, I hope everyone's okay. You can be, everyone in every expertise can be engaged in the farm in some way. Maybe someone has a special expertise in marketing, in advertising. Maybe someone has a special expertise in selling. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. You can't be afraid of it. I think that's the whole thing. And remember, it's not your farm, it's God's farm. And keep praying about engagement and how it can happen. And I would say creatively engage volunteers in planning. And I talked about this a little bit, is as we're embarking on plans and so on, I had chance to call up at least 3-4 former farm managers that were engaged with our organization. And of course, I do want to hear from them. I do want to get ideas on where they're coming from. But also, I know once I talk to them about the farm, they're engaging. They're coming on board. And one person, after we spoke for about half an hour, he's like, oh, I'm so excited. He goes, if you ever need me there, I'll be there. He is 3-4 hours away, and he'll be there anytime. In fact, we still need to engage him. Yeah, I haven't reached out to him recently. And, you know, they can involve in the planning. They can involve in the visioning, ideation. I mean, there's all kinds of things that they can do. And is it work to engage volunteers? It is. It is. It definitely is work. But it's multiple. It's exponential returns. You know, if you could plant one corn and get one corn seed could, and you get 6-7 stalks, you would do it, right? Same thing with volunteer. I mean, it's with volunteers where you're getting that return on investment of your time and the joy that it brings to them. Integrate, celebrate, join the parade. When I say integrate, I'm talking about how the other parts of your organization and the farm really work together. I see a lot of farms, and it's like, this is a farm thing, this is the school thing, or there seems to be something we've set up over time where the farm is here, the entity is here. I really think the joy is that there's no line. You know, there's a melding of where the farm is and where the school is, and you don't know. In fact, we're working to get towards that right now. Marcy and a group of individuals are working on some, I'm talking the physicality of the farm on the campus, where you really don't, you shouldn't know where the farm begins and where the campus ends or begins, and it's just all part of the campus. And that sends a message about it, too. And I say celebrate. I mean, celebrate every milestone you can. Celebrate it. We had one of our biggest celebrations, and it was such a joy. We sent out an invite. We had a year earlier, and this was the second year. It was in the spring, and it happened to be a gorgeous day that we chose. We just thank God for that. And it was a chance for us to celebrate developments that were taking place at the farm, to dedicate the farm, prayer, and to give thanks for what was going on. And we ended up having over 350, I actually believe it was more like 400 people that showed up for that day, and it was a potluck. We headed outside. We headed under a pavilion that was just finished. The choir, we invited the choir to come out and sing. We had people talk about Thanksgiving and thankfulness for what we were able to do, and some people we named the pavilion after. And it was a chance for us to showcase the farm, and I think we're going to make it an annual event. In fact, we got to figure out a date for that, I think. If maybe Marcy has already, I don't know. So I'm integrating this into a work session with Marcy and I and give the presentation. So this, talk about getting two for one. This is a win. So you really got to share the news, and you got to get the community. Yeah. And when I say join the parade, I'm literally, we have a parade in our community. We weren't able to join this last year because of rain and I think some other stuff. They have an apple parade, and we're working to get back to be involved with that. And I'm talking about community engagement. Do you know the needs of your community? I've just joined, and I wish I'd joined so much long ago, the nonprofit forum that we have in our community, leaders in our community that get together. And I'm hearing about needs and connections that I just did not know about. And if I knew about earlier, I'm sure we would have sculpted a farm just a little differently in some ways, and who we would have connected with and how we would have gone about things. And it just opens up all kinds of things, more than just a parade. So I just hope you're involved in your community. And read the newspaper. I know that sounds, we don't do that, but we need to know what's going on in our communities if we're going to serve our communities. Oh, here's some vegetables we have that were dropped off by, I think, some students at our LPC. That's our Recreation and Wellness Center. And we were just giving them away for free. Hey, take them if you want them. And it just had a great great connection. And then they can make a gift if they want to. You can see the little box there. And I think she was one of our regulars that was grabbing the tomatoes or whatever else that we had here. Students. You're all involved with most. Is anyone not involved with students? If you're involved with the institution, everyone is, I would assume. I think that is the golden opportunity for us. That's the sweet spot, right, of engaging students. Will the farm be perfect again if we're involving students? No. And, of course, that's where we're aligning our mission and our ministry so that it's aligned with what is our what's the outcome that we have here, and it's education, right? So if it's to have the most beautiful farm and it's to have perfect vegetables and to get things done at the perfect time, we wouldn't hire students, would we? No, we would not. So we have to understand that. And once we understand that, I think it makes a big difference. Our farm doesn't look perfect all the time. No. And I don't I don't evaluate the farm on that. I evaluate the farm. It should look good, of course, but I evaluate the farm. If how many students are connecting to the farm, his character, is there development in our students, and so on. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be some bruised vegetables. There are going to be some people that made mistakes. And I think when I was involved with some students when the first year, it's like there was a place that nothing grew. And I was like, what went on here? And I was like, who was the student that was planting this plot or this thing here? Because it just nothing was growing. And so I don't know what happened, but, you know, you're going to get some of those type of things. But we're going to work with those students and keep working with them. And this is a wonderful way for students. I think in these pictures, we have them prepping some things, taking some things to some retirees. And the flowers, what were the flowers given for here? I'm not sure. Oh, great. Neat. Give it to the students. We're picking them to give to someone who's having a bad day. Is that a great thing for a student to do? Wow, that just touches my heart, yeah. And of course, for recruitment and onboarding. If you have students that are coming in, they're looking at being potential students for your entity or organization, are you showing them the farm? I would think you are, and if not, make sure you are. I would make it as one of the top places to go and visit, and we are, and it's having an amazing impact on the families and on the students, and also sets it up so when they do come, they know what they're in for. That sounds like a bad thing. They know what opportunities they have when they arrive on campus, right? And I would say make those students into leadership positions, and make them crew leaders. We had a great presentation before mine on how to engage students and others, and I would encourage that. I'm going to go over a little faster the communication strategy. I'm happy to talk about that more, of how we can leverage that for greater impact. It's just there's so much there, and I think our time is short, and I can come back to it too. We started a YouTube channel, and I know everyone has it and is doing it. It does not take that much work to do. And in our case, we have an individual that runs it for us in the community. We pay him a small amount of money, and he just keeps it coming. We have it down to where it's as simple as him having a clip. Maybe it's 13 seconds, 12 seconds. Some are longer, depending on what the material is. And he sends it to my phone, and I either say approved or, hey, maybe work on this. It takes about 2 seconds of my time, and he's able to get it uploaded. What a great way to engage in the community and so on about what you're doing. Church farm partnership. Are you all involved? Is there a church farm partnership where you're at? Yes? No? I am hoping, I saw a head shake there. It made my day when our local church put us as their ministry. They have a list of ministries, the Fletcher Church ministries. It was the farm, it was Fletcher Academy. But still, I was really happy to hear that. And I've talked to the pastor, and he sees the farm as their ministry. And that changes everything. It's not what are they doing or whatever. It means that the church is involved in wanting to help out. The church is involved in giving out, sharing the good word about the farm, and so on. I had one of the pastors recently mention to me that he was working out at I think maybe our local gym, and said he met somebody and he ended up talking about the farm. So isn't that neat? Talk about getting that value and that creation, that connection, and so on. I'm not going to spend too much on creating inspiring space. I'd spent a little bit on that, but you got to have fun with it, right? And we had a student that paints, and we asked them to put on a beautiful picture in the side of one of the greenhouses, and she just painted it out and made a beautiful thing. And it just spoke to so many people, created a connection with so many lives and others as they go by. What's going on? What is this? I got a lot of connections with individuals in the community just on that because they saw it from the road. So what is the opposite of integration, by the way? Separation, yeah. Anything else? Pieces, yeah, there you go. Disconnection. It can be disunion and so on. You know, is the work program integrated? You know, everything that's going on, is it integrated in the curriculum? Is all the organization participating in the farm, or are you doing your own thing, you know? And I think this is a great area of opportunity. And you guys, you can lead up. You can lead up. In fact, some people would argue there's some people, stuff that's been written that's out there right now, even Seven Habits, highly successful people and so on, that it's easier to lead up than to lead down. The impact that you can have and so on. Don't underestimate the impact that you can have as a farm manager or leading with a farm project with coming out with initiatives. Everyone is busy. If you come out and say, hey, this is an opportunity for us to do this, I've got it all ready to go, and this is what we can do, it's going to happen. Hey, I noticed on the first day of school, I have availability for 3 hours. Could I give all the students a tour on the first day of school as part of their orientation and make that happen? Boom, it will happen. It will happen. So many ways. Yeah, and I'd encourage you to do everything from having contests to whatever. Name the greenhouse, whatever. There's all kinds of ways that you can do to connect people with the joy of the farm. Yeah, educational field trips, growing educational crops. I'm speaking to the choir here, but I just think it should be mentioned, right? So I'm going to ask you now, you knew this was coming, right? What are some ways that you're connecting with others or creating more of the missional value of the farm besides just growing the vegetables? I'm opening it up. This very far, so you might have to come up a little bit. Was that yes?
Well,
if you can speak into the mic, because it's being recorded.
Okay, well, I was volunteering someone else to speak. So she was saying, though, that it's not at an institutional farm, but it's at her farm, at her home, and what she does for the community. Is that?
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, good. See? You're welcome.
With friends like that.
I think I volunteered. I'm Melissa Clayton. I work with Acquainting Agriculture. I worked in a school that had a farm, but now I just stay home with my kids, and we have our own farm. And one of the things that we do is I teach gardening classes, and we inoculate shiitake mushroom logs. And then we teach, so that's in the spring, mushroom logs and gardening. And then in the fall, I run a 12-week nature school. And these are all kids from our community. And we live in an area that does not have Adventists. So we are the only Adventist with kids. And I have largely not even Christian families that are coming, and a few Christian kids. So it really is a big outreach. I average 12 to 15 kids a class. Occasionally there's more, but I really try to cap it at 15 because it's just me, and you kind of lose that one-on-one connection. But that's been a great way to make relationships in our community because the parents always stay. And so we do the activities in the garden with the kids, and then I get a chance to visit with the parents while the kids just play in the woods.
That's neat. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't be shy. Fountain View Academy?
Yeah, I just wanted to share, maybe it's a different kind of aspect, but something with the, we have a music program that's just heavily integrated to school, so they, I mean, if you've seen tours and stuff, they bring carrots along, and they'll engage people to really, that's what they know, they know Fountain View for carrots, so they'll engage and just either, if it's in Canada, be able to buy the carrots or just have some to give, but then also local communities, we only have one town that's 20 minutes away. We're pretty isolated out there. So we go in and, you know, it's like some of the students, especially when COVID happened, we couldn't bring everyone to our campus. So they brought the kind of an international supper kind of thing to the community. And one of the booths was carrot juice because you just got to find different ways to make it happen. So we did a little booth and dressed someone up in a carrot kind of thing and made a bunch of juice. And it was just kind of that connection and just fun time there. They had a little carrot hat, carrot top hat, and we were just pumping carrot juice out. So it was really unique to see that, and the students loved it. And yeah, it was a really cool experience.
I'm from Wisconsin. We have cheese heads, but I haven't heard of carrot heads. That's neat. That's neat. Anyone else? Anyone else? That's fun.
Yeah, I'm Carlene from Peachland, North Carolina. And we have a farm. It's called Abundant Living Farm. And we started in the year 2020, and that is when COVID was going on. And the interesting thing was before that, we would hand out tracts about the Bible or books about the Bible. And anyway, during COVID, sometimes people started thinking about germs, and it's like, okay, should I take this or not? Because they're thinking about germs. But what I figured was, well, at the farmer's market, if they'll do a money transaction, they should be able to take a brochure. So anyway, when someone will buy something, I'll hand them, like, here is a brochure about the Sabbath of the Lord, and different things during that time. And even now, we still.
That's great. Thank you very much. I'm glad you mentioned that, pamphlets and brochures. Anyone else would like to share? John? Yeah, Marcy.
So one of the things that we've done is with the retirement community, we've had volunteers come down to the farm, not just other than the ones Chris was talking about. And a lot of time, I've actually had some very elderly people who came down to help us, but the neat thing to me is seeing them be able to interact with the students. We have one lady who would come down and help a little bit, and then she'd call me and she'd say, can I bake something and bring to the students? And she'd bring them pastries or whatever. And it just created a really unique opportunity for the students to connect with a different generation. And it, you can tell that it also brings joy to the people who volunteer. So I think that's a good ministry that connects both to the farm with positive experiences.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Marcy. Anyone else? Oh, I say someone's name, and he... He's like, I should have never said my name to Chris.
So I'm John Kirshner at Upper Columbia Academy in Washington State. And something that we did this year is we're in a small community, only about a 300 people in the town. But the local farmers market ended up shutting down, so we took it on. So we did a farmers market all summer. And we just hope to expand that next year. And it was such a blessing to us, and I think to the community. It was really cool to involve them.
Super connection.
Yep.
Is that one day a week?
One day a week.
That's neat. That's neat. That's great. Anyone else? All right. Go ahead. What? Oh.
Now it's my turn.
I thought you were volunteering someone else.
I have no one else to volunteer. So I have been attempting to flower garden at our farm for the last 2 years, and lots of failures. But the one thing that does grow in Texas are zinnias, however you say them. And we have such a surplus of them, and people aren't necessarily, they don't know that we really exist, you know, as a farm. So I'm like, I have all these flowers, what am I going to do? And so I'm harvesting them all, and we have a little church group. And so all the young people came together, made bouquets, and then we took them out to the nursing home residents and shared there. And so that was our little outreach. No necessarily, not any recognition, but just sharing the love with others.
That's great. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. If there's not anyone else, I just think, let's think creatively about our ministries. These ideas they got, I mean, some we already know work. There's other things that we can do. I just love the idea of wearing the carrot. We got to find some vegetable hats at Fletcher Academy. For maybe any student that works the farm market has to wear a vegetable hat, maybe. I know, exactly. exactly. But I think 5 years later, yeah, I think 5 years later they'll look back and say, "Oh yeah, that was fun." Yeah. Oh, we have one more. Okay, go ahead. Come on. It's Andrew.
Yes.
A little closer.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yes. So I managed a farm at UG Pines Institute, and so what I decided to do was. order some Spirit of Prophecy books, Steps to Christ, which is called Shelter in the Storm, and Ministry of Healing, so that anytime we get services rendered to us, like somebody delivers something to the Institute, we always have a book. Depending on the person, I pray and I ask which book to give to the person who comes. For example, there was a gentleman who came to just give us an estimate on the drainage that we need to do for our greenhouses. And we ended up not going with him, but he was so impressed with what we were doing there. And, you know, he recognized his need for, you know, better health. And I told him about the health center and everything. But after talking, he seemed so impressed and so encouraged in regards to health that I ended up giving him the Ministry of Healing. And, you know, I did pray for him. And, you know, we always seek, I always seek to discern what the need is among those who come to render us services. And we do get a lot of services rendered to us from outside, you know, not just for the farm, but for construction and things like that. So it's always good to have books handy and to always be, you know, on alert. So that's what we seek to do. To be a blessing.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Andrew. Let's end with a word of prayer. Our Father God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that we can work in the garden. We thank you that we can connect with people with the work that you've given to us. We thank you that it's such a joy to be a part of this. Despite the challenges, Lord, we pray that we'll always be able to see through that and know that there's a greater purpose for what's taking place and that people will come to know you. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.